It's time for the Geek Game Too Long Didn't Read.
And welcome to the ever sporadic TLDR. I'm Justin, and with me for her maiden voyage into podcasting is TGC Mel.
Hello.
So, this week, month, year, however often these come out, we are going to be talking about the Amazon Prime series, The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. We're going to discuss a little bit of news aspect related to it, and then give a spoiler-free review at the end. So stick around or don't, whatever. We don't judge. Mel, what you got?
So the Rings of Power have been all over the news, or maybe that's just my news feed and it just skews that way.
50-50.
The first topic, Amazon made an interesting decision to suspend reviews in order to combat what they called review bombing. I didn't know what this was before someone had said it. But apparently, instead of, you know, one person, one vote, as was intended, they decided that...
One person, many votes. All bad. All negative. All the time.
If you wanted to, you know, really hated it and you needed your voice to count way more than it should, then you basically go out and get a bunch of accounts or some bots or something, and suddenly the whole thing is spammed with, this is the most horrible thing ever.
So Chicago-style voting. apologies to anybody who's from Chicago who's listening. I'm joking. Sort of.
Anyway, that was the goal. That was the goal as stated. So for quite a while, there were no reviews at all on Amazon.
But, you know, they can't stop the signal, as it were. So other sites, other places can still review it.
Yeah, I was basically all over practically every other site was everyone's opinion on the show.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to dodge spoilers of any kind, almost impossible.
Yeah.
We are going to do our best, though.
What's interesting is, since IMDb is owned by Amazon, it also kind of filtered into there as well. It's like you couldn't really review. They didn't really have a review. But places like Rotten Tomato, which aren't owned by Amazon, free reign!
I mean, I guess you could see the perspective. Like, they spent a lot of money, an insane amount of money on the show, and they didn't want to see it, you know, downvoted right out of the gate.
And that wasn't even in production. That was just rights.
I don't know. I mean, I guess only they know if they accomplished whatever they set out to accomplish there.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. Do you, when you're watching shows, you're flicking through your streaming service of choice, mm-hmm. Do you even notice the review stars?
No.
Or thumbs up or whatever the various choices may be.
Uh-uh. No.
Do you ever click on them and read what they might say?
God, no. I trust critics about as far as I could throw a 6,000-pound weight, and I do not have very good upper body strength. So, new.
Yeah, I mean, I don't either. In fact, I didn't know the little review stars on Amazon were there until I read, you know, the news about it, and I went to go look for them specifically for this reason, but before that I'd never noticed or cared. The mob review of television doesn't really mean anything to me. Like,
no.
There might be specific people that I will go to get their opinion on it.
GeekApePodcast.com.
Right. I guess we also have to mention the what they called everywhere as the backlash on the casting. I don't want to go into this too far, but basically some people were upset that the entire cast of the show is not composed solely of white dudes.
It's not real. It doesn't... Hi.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of other people, you know, came out in support of the cast or whatever.
Oh, yes.
They're actors. They're doing a job. If you want to complain about how well they acted or didn't act, that's fine. But just complaining because their hair color or any other thing is the wrong thing, according to you.
Yes.
No, stop.
You know, it would be one thing if there were hard-working elven-born actors in this world who couldn't get a job on Lord of the Rings because all the elf roles had gone to non-elf people. I would be very upset about this. Elves aren't real, folks. It doesn't matter what color their skin is.
They're not real. You abolished all my life goals.
It's okay. Santa's still real.
Oh, okay. Well,
Santa's still real.
I'm so relieved in that sense. And it also should go without saying, people, please don't threaten the lives and family of people involved in the show.
Oh, my God, no, please.
That's not justice. Well, I think that's probably enough of that.
Yes.
Should we go on to the review? The news, as always, contains just enough dumpster fire to make you want to do something else. So let's go on to reviews. If you want to read a review, there's about a billion of them available online. For the most part, if there was a review bar graph, it would be like one third, one star, one third, all the stars, and one third, whatever else is in between those two numbers.
Throw the horns for those of you who are into metal. Throw the horns, and that's what the bar graph looks like. Grandparents, ask your kids. It's fine.
So we're going to end up in the middle.
Yeah.
We're going to live in that middle space.
Pretty much. So a little bit of background. I only know Tolkien from the Peter Jackson movies. I've never read the books. I know. Shameful of me. I've tried so hard. I just can't get into them. But I love the movies.
You did watch the extended edition.
I did watch the extended edition, but it's still a movie. And then there's Mel. Mel, please give us your Tolkien credentials.
Did they make a certificate for that? I don't know.
I will make you one.
Okay. I don't own the complete collection of everything ever written by Tolkien, but I read almost all of it at least once.
So why don't I give my 2 cents first, and then you can kind of go from there. Does that work for you?
Okay.
From somebody with my background, if you liked the movies, but you're not really into the books and you don't know the lore, go ahead and watch it. Be like me. It's interesting enough. It kept my interest. I'm curious to see what happens next. It is not connected to the movies. It is not produced by the same company that made the movies. So this isn't a prequel to Peter Jackson's two trilogies. It is its own standalone thing set in the world of Tolkien. But it's pretty good.
Okay, so this was really hard for me. I'm going to come down on, asterisk undecided.
Fair.
I'm not sure. I'm going to keep going and see how it plays out. People who are really into the lore, if you're into the lore and you want this to follow the lore exactly, maybe not for you. I'm going to go pretty hard. The internet has gone this pretty hard also. That probably not for you if you're not willing to let it slip.
Yeah.
From that, from a serious lore perspective, a lot of people have said it's more like Tolkien fanfic or alternate universe or something.
We kind of compiled the list of what worked, what didn't work. So what do we have down there?
We wrote under the good column. The very first one was basically the visuals, the location, those big sweeping scenery reveals with the orchestra music behind it.
Yeah.
Where basically, I mean, the scenery and the places come to life on screen for the very first time.
Oh yeah. It's not as good as like the cinematography of a film, but it's close. It's close.
It didn't quite recapture the exact same feeling for me as, like, the introduction in the Fellowship of the Ring. You can obviously see that that's where they spent their money. I spent a lot of money. The scenery, the effects, the visual presentation. And a lot of that definitely paid off. It was great to see at least two historical locations so far. A lot vibrant and alive and big on screen in front of me.
Yeah, and yeah, like you said at one point, it didn't quite recapture the magic of seeing the Fellowship for the first time. You know, that big opening sprawling thing, shots and whatever. But it came close. It reminded you of that, but didn't quite achieve it. Is that fair?
I'll say it will depend on where your interests lie.
Fair.
You know, because if you're into, say, dwarves and not the Shire, then this is spoiler free, but there might be a dwarvish location. There might be some other location.
Okay, this doesn't spoil anything. There is a dwarven location.
The second thing you had on here was the action sequences.
Oh, yeah. Those were good. Those were good. There's not many in the first two episodes, but the third episode kind of kicks it up a notch. Really good choreography in terms of fighting and just overall stuff like that. Now, there is, in the first episode, in the first 5 minutes, a big sprawling CGI battle scene that is very nice. But then it kind of slows down from there in that regard. But they're very well done.
And the third thing I had is I appreciate, this is TV-14 rated. I appreciated the sort of lack of gratuitous sex, nudity, and sexual violence that some other unnamed show on some other network is super famous for.
You know, at no point during this show does a cold season approach.
I might later, so I'm not sure. There was a whole winterish scene, but that's not here or there.
There was a lot in terms of graphicness. A lot was implied, and there wasn't any gratuitous sex or romance to push the plot along.
A lot of people were worried that because of the popularity of other show, that the show would head that way, when if you know anything about Tolkien at all, that would not be his preference.
No. Not that I have anything against, you know, sex and violence on TV. Just, it doesn't fit in this show, and they didn't try and force it in.
Right. There were a couple scenes that was like, and this was a little bit gorier than I wanted, but my threshold for that is pretty low.
Yeah.
So, now that we've covered that, the next section was some stuff they could have done better.
Yeah, it's fair. Okay, what do we got?
So, one of the things that we talked about in just the show was, we sort of both agreed on, was the way it was kind of put together, it was too much, too fast. There are four sort of separate plots going on right out the gate. And about every 5 minutes, it felt like we switched from one to the other, like siblings fighting for a remote on TV. I'm in one land, and then I'm in another land, and then I'm in another land. Like, it didn't give me the sense of, a lot of it didn't give me the sense of immersion in the experience, in the culture that I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get, you don't spend as much time with the characters because there's so many you're introducing and you're bouncing and bouncing that you don't necessarily have as much interest in all the characters as you might by episode 3.
Yeah. The first two episodes did feel very much Spider-Man 3-ish, where you've just got too much crammed into not enough space.
There was Venom and Strange Dancing?
Venom and Strange Dancing and Sandman and Goblin 2 and other Venom and, you know, it's whatever. But again, at the time of this recording, they've only released 3 episodes. By the 3rd episode, that starts to get a little bit better.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about? Like pacing or
not that I can think of that kind of covers that.
The next bullet point was the biggest mountain I think this show has faced, or problem in any case, is basically its relationship to the existing lore. There were some various, like, if you want to know all the ways in which this deviates from various Tolkien works or has similarities to various parts of Tolkien works, you could probably find all that online. If somebody wants to listen to me talk about that ad nauseum for several hours, just let me know. That's not normally what most people are into, though.
Let me know in the Discord.
We're not going to sit here and talk about this character doesn't do this, this character does this, this character
doesn't exist.
any of that stuff. there's a lot of sources of lore. There's a lot of lore that, you know, Tolkien finished The Lord of the Rings. He finished The Hobbit. He had a metric ton of other stuff that he wrote in drafts and partial bits and everything, but it wasn't finished, and some of the versions conflict, and we could go on and on about that, and I don't really want to. The thing I wanted to say about the lore is, like, I felt personally that it was kind of a missed opportunity, having read a lot of the other bits of lore available for reading. There are several stories in there that when they said, you know, first, second age, I was really looking forward to this story or this character. And as far as I can tell from what they've introduced and what they have rights to use, none of that is going to show up. And so my disappointment is immense. I'm sad. I'm sad about that.
You has a sad.
I has a sad, but, you know.
I mean, you can only do what you can with what you've been given. They weren't given the rights to everything. They had to kind of cobble together what they could. So coming from someone who's only watched the movies and doesn't know the lore at all, it's not a problem. It's a non-point for me. It's, you know, I'm willing to look at it. Okay, it's not part of the movie universe. It's its own thing. Cool, fine, whatever.
That's part of the reason I think I'm sort of undecided, though, is, like, I can be a stickler for lore. There's a lot of lore I know and I'm interested in, and maybe some of this deviates from that. I kind of wish they had labeled the show as, and maybe they did and I missed it, as more of an alternate universe.
I don't think they did.
Something that gave me some indication that we were going to ride off the gate, maybe introduce some new elements, and maybe if I'd been prepared, I would have felt better about it.
I don't think they thought that all the way through.
Well, and that said, I was really disappointed that I'm going to miss some of my favorite stuff. But at the same time, like we talked about the scenes, watching some of those locations kind of come to life and do this sprawling geographical. I mean, some of that stuff was so amazing that it's like, I'm still here.
Yeah.
We still got to episode 3. We'll probably turn on episode 4. When we get around to it, I don't know. I don't want to keep going on about that. We could talk about it for 3,000 more podcasts, which will put everyone to sleep except for like 5 people. No, I don't know. The other thing I had written down as like use improvement was a dialogue thing. I don't know if you noticed any of it.
I didn't. You've actually watched the first 3 episodes twice. I've only seen them once. So I didn't catch it, but what are you talking about?
Well, some people were talking about how some of it was cheesy or whatever, and that's not really what I mean. I meant more like sort of a speech pattern. Tolkien was very interested in languages and patterns and poetry and verse and just the way language sounds when you stack words together. And so it felt like there was a little bit of that, and then it would be common speech, and then a little bit of, like, it didn't feel consistent. Like, they got there sometimes, but didn't get there some of the other times. Like, the best example of that, how do we explain this without spoilers? Something bad happens to an elf, and they do one of those just angry screams type things, like, I can't believe this is happening right in front of me and I want to protest it, you know. Think Darth Vader and the like famous
no
thing. So it's kind of like that. So the first thing that happens, this is an elf, so he makes an exclamation in an elven language, and then mid or whatever, he then says no in English. So it's like you get half the exclamation reaction in one language and half the other in a way that is very jarring to watch in an emotional scene.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I see that.
Like I said, it's partly there.
Yeah.
It's not all the way there.
Okay. Well, that's kind of it in a nutshell. So, yeah. Personally, see it or not. It's your choice.
Like it or not, that's your choice too.
Tune in next Tuesday for Tolkien Talk with TGC Mel.
oh, no, don't advertise that.
Don't forget to check out our other shows, the main podcast, the Geek Cave podcast, You Want Me to Watch What, the Week 3 podcast, and on YouTube you can find Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics, Twitch streams, all sorts of things. Check us out on your favorite podcast service of choice, and various social media sites, which are all at geekcavepodcast.com. And until next time, we'll see you then.
And remember, everyone's geek for something.